Podcast. Welcome to the Almost Perfect Podcast, a celebration of fuck-ups, failures, and falling flat on your face. This is a podcast that believes you can learn from experience, but that experience doesn't have to be your own. Hi, I'm not perfect, and I'm a functional fuck-up. Let's learn from somebody else's mistakes. And today we are learning from Akhil Maharaj. Now, Akhil is a comedian. He's part of the Not Quite Right comedy crew, which you've probably heard me mention, you know, once or twice here and there over the last year or so. And yeah, man, Akhil's fucking funny, dude. Really one of my favorite comedians. And this chat is absolutely fucking wild. I mean, it's awkward as fuck because Akhil is a bit awkward when it comes to being asked questions and shit. But it also gets really fucking funny. And we say some pretty out-of-pocket shit. Like, I'm just letting you know straight up, like, front, right off the bat, that, yeah, man, turns out you can say anything. Like, you really can. Whether or not it should be published, that's a whole different question. But, yeah, you're going to get to hear most of the conversation we had unedited, or just edited for clarity, I guess. So yeah, man, you're in for a good time. And yeah, if you want to come have a good time in real life, come join us on Wednesday night on the 14th of February. Whether you're single, whether you're dating, whether, you know, I don't know what your relationship status is, but come and hang out with us, come and have a laugh. Comedy is hosting, and yeah, we're trying to make it like a bit of a thing. You can get your tickets and be entered into a draw for pizza and drinks and stuff like that. And then next week, Friday, myself, Akhil, Comedy, Tibbs, and then Robbie Collins are all performing at Noah's Pub out on the Bluff. That is on the 16th of February. The 21st of February is my birthday, so that's going to be quite fun. Come on through to Ace's Pizza. Every Wednesday we do the open mic there. And then, anything else? Oh yes, 30th of March, the Bioscope in Joburg. Tickets and stuff will go on sale for that probably towards the end of the month. So look forward to that. And gonna shill just a little bit more, because this podcast is brought to you by you, which means you can support it by going to patreon.com/almostperfect and subscribe for as little as $1 a month. If you don't want to do that, so you can't afford that, hey man, like, subscribe, share, comment, all of that helps immensely. But yeah, like I was saying, Akhil is a comedian, and he's actually from Richards Bay. And every single Wednesday, well, not every single Wednesday, but most Wednesdays, he drives all the way from Richards Bay to Durban, does 5 minutes of comedy, and then drives all the fucking way back, which is a level of dedication that I don't think I would have to anything at all, ever. So I fucking admire the fuck out of that, genuinely. It's one of the reasons why we're like, yeah, no, this dude needs to be part of the team, because A, he's funny as fuck, and B, that is commitment. So yeah, he's someone who I've really enjoyed getting to know over this last year. He's a funny motherfucker, depressive motherfucker, but funny. And yeah, this last year in general has just been really dope with the Not Quite Right crew. Like, you know, Akhil and I knew each other from the Winston days, from, you know, he's been doing comedy for a bit. And, you know, I've always dug the dude, but didn't really know him. And I think you'll get to know him fairly well through this conversation. Like, fairly well. You'll get a good look into the Akhil that I know. Because, like, you'll see just now. He'll tell you himself that he's not exactly the most open person. Like, you've got to poke and prod a little to get some answers out of him. But you don't need to poke or prod to get jokes out of him. Like I said, this whole podcast is 90% jokes, and then a little bit of talking about depression, which also brings up some jokes. We chat about Norm Macdonald, which also brings up some jokes. So yeah, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, there's a lot of jokes in this one. There's a lot of us just fucking laughing at each other, and yeah, just go into this knowing that. Like, if you go into this expecting some jokes and sarcasm, hey, that's exactly what you're gonna get. If you go into this one expecting a deep discussion where we tell our true and honest feelings and opinions on things, yeah, there's a little bit of that. There's a touch of that interspersed. But the great thing about being a comedian is you can always just say, oh, I was joking. No one has to know what your real actual opinion is. Although, I don't know. I think it comes through sometimes in the text. I think that is definitely something we chat about, actually, in just a little bit. Because, yeah, I'm rambling. I'm jibber-jabbering. So, fuck it. It's time for the Almost Perfect Podcast with Akhil Maharaj. So, how are you living, Akhil?
I'm living day by day. How are you doing?
Oh, you're living the full house life, step by step, day by day.
I'm not part of that generation, Bob. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I don't fucking come with that shit.
Bob's a boomer. I'm from the generation that watched, like, I grew up watching Young Sheldon. I grew up watching...
See, now I can't tell if you're fucking with me.
Do you know that Young Sheldon is like a new series, right?
Okay. Yeah, and it's shit. Like, so that's why
I don't watch it.
That's what I'm saying. All right, you're just trying to make...
Like Big Bang Theory, for me personally, Big Bang Theory and all of that stuff is like very... It's like nerd cultural appropriation, and I don't support it.
Oh, you don't feel represented by Big Bang Theory?
No, because it's all like fake... Like, it's like fake science stuff. It's like they're always like trying to touch on these hot button issues. And then like people who vaguely know about science, they're like, oh yeah, they mentioned a black hole dying. A star dying becomes a black hole. And they made a joke about it. It's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, half their jokes are just like pop culture references as well. Like Star Wars reference, yeah. Lord of the Rings reference. And it's like, that is just the fucking joke. You know, I hate that fucking shit. But I mean, I guess since we're talking about it, what do you watch and what have been some of your influences over the years?
I don't know. I like, there was this one show. It's like one of my favorite shows ever. It's called Kenny versus Benny.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that. That used to be on Comedy Central or something. Oh, it was Adult Swim, hey?
No, yeah. It was like, there was a channel called something Max. It wasn't Show Max. It was something, or was it Show Max? I don't know. But there was a channel near Comedy Central, like near it on DSTV. And they had the show Kenny versus Benny. And it was just two Canadian guys that used to like basically torment each other. And it's like a reality show, but extremely graphic and a lot of insult comedy.
And it's a lot of most fucked up pranks you've ever seen.
Yeah, basically. It's kind of, but check it out. The whole thing's on YouTube. The whole series is on YouTube. Kenny, the guy who...
The main asshole.
Who's part of... Yeah. He uploaded them all to YouTube.
Yeah, did you ever get into, like, Wondershousen?
What's that?
Wondershousen, oh, fuck. It was this fucked up show that, like, was on MTV. And they used to have, like... I'm sure you've seen it, where there's this kid that, like... There's this little girl who goes on Wall Street and, like, interviews, like, some of the bankers and stuff there. And just, like, is, like... You know, what is it like to have blood on your hands? Like, shit like that.
No, I've never seen that.
That's
from the 60s.
Yeah, when MTV was, you know, dying, was the 60s.
Just me making lame attempts at old jokes to Bob. But no, I don't know. What else did I like growing up? I remember, for me, like, all the stuff that influenced me is all the stuff that, like, mildly traumatized me when I was younger. You know, like Kenny versus Benny was very graphic and very, you know, Jackass and stuff, very graphic. Another thing that definitely shocked me when I was a child was South Park. So when I was younger, my father used to work at this hardware shop and I would go and hang out with him on weekends or whatever. And this hardware shop was next to the cash
out with him or go and work for him?
Go and hang out while he's working. I'll just walk around. I'll just walk around and do everything. And there was a cash converters next door. And I used to just love going into the cash converters and looking and checking out all the stuff. And they used to have a TV there that was for sale. And on that TV, they used to play the South Park movie. You know, the one where
Bigger, Longer, Uncut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think Saddam Hussein. Well, Saddam Hussein with Satan.
Yeah. Saddam Hussein and Satan. Yeah.
I can change.
I remember that.
And it would have been a dirty little battle.
I watched that thing when I was like 7 or 6. Or I was like 8 or 7 or something. And I remember that shocking me. I was like, what the hell is this?
Okay, I'll tell you a story about that movie that I don't think I've ever told in public.
Yeah.
I watched the thing when I was like 12 years old. I think that's when the movie came out. And I saw it in theaters with my friends and went back. My mom was working at the bowling center down on the beachfront at the time. And in front of my friends, I asked her what a clitoris was.
Oh, no, that's horrible. Yeah, I asked my dad once what was a vagina. We're watching Austin Powers and in front of my whole family. And I was like, everyone was laughing at some vagina joke that was made in the movie. And I was like, what's a vagina? And then everyone just kept quiet. No one even, I thought it was a map or something. Because I was trying to match the joke with what I saw on the screen. And I was like, that guy's face looks like a map is on it. So vagina must be a map. And then obviously I grew up and.
No, why? Because it was like a lot of vagina. Was that?
No, it was like, you know, that fat bastard character, I think. Yeah. He lost a lot of weight, and then his skin was hanging on his face.
Okay, now I remember it. Yeah, for me, it was like in the movie; it just looked like this big, like jub, like finding the clits and stuff. I was like, "What the fuck is it?"
Yeah,
I'd never seen a vagina in real life. You know, I had no clue what the anatomy was. And
oh, me too, bro.
So shout outs to South Park, because not only did it teach me like a lot about like politics and stuff like that, and you know, just what's going on in America. To me, like South Park is how I find out the news basically when it comes to America. But also taught me a lot about sex. About something. Pardon?
Yeah. No, it's definitely taught me about sex. definitely. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Probably a bad thing.
It's probably better than learning everything from porn though.
Yeah, but I kind of grew up in that generation where when I was like in grade 4, my friends, or grade 5, my friends would come up to me and be like, do you know what's porn? And you know, like you're a kid, you're supposed to be like, you don't want to be the one left out. So I was like, I know what it is. You know, I had no idea what it was. And then they were telling me all these stories and I was like, what the fuck? This sounds disgusting. Yeah, fast forward a few years later and it's a big part of my life.
What porn?
Yeah.
How often are you looking at porn a day?
At least about I was gonna joke. Maybe like one time a day.
Yeah, once a day is healthy.
I don't know if it's healthy, but I'll just look at it and then I'll look away or something. I've downloaded like blockers and stuff to go on your phone because I feel like it's bad for you, but I can't help it sometimes. You know, because I don't get real female. The touch. I don't feel the touch of a real female. So
I hope you don't like Jordan Peterson here. Hey, this isn't an incel podcast.
Yeah. So I was listening to Andrew Tate the other day. he told me that. No, dude, really. Andrew Tate told me that if I sell all my
Bitcoin.
Yeah, my Bitcoin, and I buy a Casio. You know the Casio data bank, the Casio calculator watch. I'm like one step closer to achieving greatness. So that's what I'm busy doing right now.
That sounds like a good plan.
Dude, I think I got like half a Bitcoin somewhere, but I swear.
I mean, at a time that would have been worth something, but I don't know fucking anymore. Like, crazy.
You know, did you ever buy Bitcoin? Like when,
when
it was popping off?
Yeah, dude, I made like a bit of money off of that shit. Like, for real. Like, you know.
A couple
grand.
Yeah, that's all right. But I mean, like, I'm saying, like, you know, if you got in early, because I remember hearing about Bitcoins when they were like 500 rand a Bitcoin. And I thought it was like so expensive.
Same.
And shit, dude.
But I mean, it was too expensive since it became fucking worthless, essentially. It's like, it was one of those things that, like.
You can still sell it, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but then you're just finding the bigger fool, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There'll always be a bigger fool. Isn't that what Jordan Peterson said?
Either him or, you know, Oscar Wilde or whoever else. You know, every fucking quote gets attributed to
me. Joe Rogan and Oscar Wilde. Who's Oscar Wilde, by the way?
He's just this old podcaster from back in the day. He's a gay podcaster.
Oh yeah, just like Mark Maron. You listen to Mark Maron.
Right? Yeah, was that meant to be like a homophobic joke or something?
No, I'm just saying that only gay guys listen to Mark Maron.
Only gay guys listen to Mark Maron, okay. Oh, fuck. This isn't the WhatsApp group, you know that. This isn't the Not Quite Right WhatsApp group.
Dude, I'm joking, bro. Everything I say is a joke. That's my, as a comedian, I get that privilege in society. I can say anything and it's a joke, so.
But haven't you heard comedians can't say anything anymore?
Yeah, but I haven't reached that level of fame where anyone gives a shit, so.
So you're just going to speak out of pocket?
Yeah, I'm just going to be insane until the wheels fall off.
I mean, people didn't give a shit about Joe Rogan dropping the N-word a million times until they did. And then there was that super cut.
Yeah.
So,
I love that. One of my favorite YouTube videos.
What, just...
I listen to that. I listen to Andrew Tate motivational video, and then I listen to that Joe Rogan N-word video. Then I'm ready.
Fuck, the Joe Rogan Experience. I'm sure you have listened to the podcast a bit, though.
Yeah, I used to be a big Rogan head back in the day. I used to listen to a lot of his podcasts when he was like more of a normal type of guy. But these days, it's like kind of unbearable to listen. Only if he has like a cool guest or if he has like MMA fighters, then I listen to it. Because, I find that interesting.
Yeah,
You listen to him sometimes for the MMA fighters or whatever.
Literally, like that is the only stuff I really care about. Like when it comes to Joe Rogan, I'm like, okay, he's talking about fighting, the thing he knows about. Yeah, let me listen. When he talks about literally anything else, I'm just like, what the fuck do you know about this?
Imagine like when we were younger, we were watching Joe Rogan on like Fear Factor on ETV, mm-hmm. and we're looking at that guy, and we weren't even like paying attention to him. We're busy looking at the fucking worms and everything. And who knew that that guy was going to become like the biggest fucking. Whatever he is, in the world, podcasting.
I mean, it's kind of like similar to the Trump thing, you know? People. Like, you just got to do something detestable and that, lots of people watch and they see you and then they're like, that guy, I remember that guy from that thing. I'm going to make him president or I'm going to make him the most powerful fucking publisher in the world today.
Yeah. But I like some of the controversial guys. I like because it's fun, bro. Like I used to listen to Joe Rogan because it was fun to hear all the conspiracy. I used to love listening to conspiracy theories. Oh, that was my favorite shit, bro.
Yeah, but when everyone agrees that it's just a fun theory, sure. Like, but these guys believe it. I'm with you. Like growing up, I loved conspiracy theories. I read lots about them. I found it really interesting and fun and stuff. But that's it. It was always just like a fun thing. Whereas you get some people who are like, no, no, the Illuminati is real.
Yeah. Yeah, they take it to the extreme, bro. They want to ruin your day with it, you know? They want to tell you you're listening to a song and they'll tell you, oh, this is the devil wrote this thing. And you're like, come on, bro. Like, okay, I get it. Why don't we talk about crop circles or something, you know?
Yeah, something let's talk about the fucking moon landing. Let's talk about JFK, the classics, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the classics, 9/11, the classics, bro.
Exactly. Why are we talking about pizzas and pedophiles? Like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
this is going to be buried by YouTube now. Fuck.
You put it on YouTube. You just we bleeped it. We'll edit it out. I'll edit it for you, dude. Don't worry.
Okay, thanks. You're going to edit it from your side there.
Oh, if you want to do it, yeah. Or I'll send you the link to the Joe Rogan N-word video and then that'll motivate you to edit it out. Because one day someone will have a
the Bob Perfect pedophile supercut.
Yeah, the supercut for Bob.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, God, dude.
But yeah, I like that we've nearly gone for 20 minutes and we've said fucking nothing. So let's actually get to know you a little bit. You're from Richards Bay, right? You always been outside, or did you guys move there? And how's that experience been? Because obviously the external idea of the Bay is not very flattering.
No, I mean, look, Richards Bay is... I'm not the ambassador for Richards Bay, firstly. So it's a boring place. It's a really boring place. But it has a beach. It has like, you feel relatively safe here. It's not that bad. But
didn't your phone get stolen there?
Yeah, but that's because I was like completely wasted, and it was like I was asking for it. So when that happened,
easy every day.
He went to Durban after, like, I did the find my phone thing, and then the next morning he was in Durban. So I was like, okay, no, he's not a Richards Bay guy, he's in Durban. So I don't feel that bad about it. But yeah, Richards Bay is, grew up in Richards Bay my whole life. I've always been there. I like it. I don't like it. I hate it, actually, but it's not too bad. A lot of friends, yeah, I guess.
Oh, you've got friends?
I've got like 3 or 4 friends.
Wow, that's, I mean.
Yeah. I'm pretty proud of myself.
I mean, you should be.
I am. Yeah, no, dude, I am 100%. Dude. You know how hard it was for me to make friends when I was younger? Shit.
Well, tell me about it. What was school and shit like?
Yeah, no, it was okay. School was tough for me. Like, for the listeners, I'm a very, like, nerdy Indian kid guy. Like, I use glasses all the time. I've used them my whole life. I was super skinny. Now I'm like skinny fat, but anyway, school was like, I was expected to be very smart at school, but I wasn't until grade 11. And then I started doing well, but yeah, school was fun. There was something I was going to tell you now.
Tell me a story of being bullied or fucking ostracized or how you made friends. So
let me tell you something that's quite, I've told my therapist this because it's so weird. I don't know if it's a normal thing or not. So when I was younger, I used to, I was kind of good at making friends, right? Because I would, I would be a very likable person. And, you know, now I do stand up comedy. But when I was younger, I was like developing that,
funny bone.
Yeah, the funny bone that like protect, what do you call it? So, like defense mechanism, which is jokes, right? So I was developing that when I was younger. So like, something I used to do, right? When I would hang out with my friends from school, like we'd go hang out at a friend's house, is I would literally have like stories prepared and like anecdotes to say, I don't know if that's how you say the word. And stuff like interesting things to say, so people think I'm an interesting guy, and I'd have it prepared and ready to go. Did you ever do that?
Not quite that, but I did have like the friends in the like in my neighborhood and that. My friends in the area would always be like, they'd always make fun of me because like I'd tell them some stuff or whatever. They'd say something, I'd be like, oh, that's like this, whatever. And they'd be like, how do you know that? I'd be like, oh, I read it in a book. And so I used to get dissed by all the local kids for reading books. Like, literally, they would be like, oh, you read it in a book.
The worst thing you can do as a child, though, is, like, read books but not be good at school. That's, like,
yeah.
You might as well, like, you're like a crazy person. I used to be one of those guys. I'll sit and read books in class, not focus on the work in school, not read the school books. And you just look like a freaking idiot. You look like, people look at you and they're like, you're sitting and reading the whole day, but you can't read the fucking 5 pages from a maths textbook or something.
I mean, I get that, dude.
And you have glass money.
So. Yeah, like I was like a solid C or B student like my whole life because like I just never did anything, you know, because I would actually rather be reading books. Like I'd get the English set work book and finish that in like the first week, you know, and then still be reading other shit at home. Like I was a library monitor and everything. So like, but I would bunk school stay at home and read and watch movies and shit, you know? I was like, I don't want to fucking go and spend time with those people. Like, I fucking hated school.
Bunk school and go to church and stuff. You're like such a rebellious, like a good rebellious boy when you're growing up. Bunk and read.
Yeah.
bunk school and read books. Holy shit.
Yeah, because the fucking fantasy world in the books was better than the life I was living. Like,
yeah, no, I feel that. But you're like homeschooling yourself. Dude.
Yeah, and I mean, I eventually got my matric through Damlin at home, so it makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so you had anecdotes lined up in the back pocket there. I mean, do you still do that? Or is that why you got into comedy?
No, I stopped that. But I've stopped that. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, this is a funny story I want to tell someone. then I find out it's not funny. But yeah, no, mostly I used to do that when I was younger, when I wanted to make friends. Now with the comedian friends and stuff that I have, I don't really socialize other than comedy. So I don't, I'm not trying to impress you guys.
You finally found people that are weirder than you.
Oh yeah, definitely. Beautiful thing. Hey, did you? Yeah, I know. So,
what are you gonna say?
Some wild behavior. No, I can't. I'm sworn to secrecy.
Yeah, let's not get too much into it. But are your friends like annoyed with you at this point by you being like, oh yeah, I've got this joke about that thing? Because I know for me, like a lot of the time, like I'll just be talking to people and like something will come up and I'll be like, oh yeah, I've got a joke about that. And then tell them it. And like, I'm sure they're getting annoyed at this point.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. I, you know, like my friends will tell me like, no, you need to write about this. Oh, yeah, if I ever come to your show and you're writing about me, I'll be very angry and I'll be like, okay, fuck off. But otherwise, no, my friends don't, what was I going to say? Yeah, my friends, I sometimes do this thing, right? So when I'm like in a place and I'm not really like a super social person, like I'll just sit on my own and like look at my phone or whatever, right? So sometimes when I'm in, like when I see everyone's talking, everyone's having a good time, I'll just keep quiet. And I'll just like observe and look around. And then I sound like a serial killer. And then sometimes people will look at me and they'll be like, my friends will look at me and they'll be like, oh, he's thinking of, he's observing me for a joke. And I'll see them get uncomfortable and it makes me like, you know, I don't know why. I think I'm a crazy person. But I enjoy doing that to people sometimes. I'll just sit and look at them for like 5 seconds and they think I'm like analyzing them or something.
I mean, speaking of analysis and being a crazy person, you did mention you're going to therapy now. How's that been going?
To be honest with you, I haven't gone this whole January. I don't know why. I'm trying to figure out why. But I'm going to go back. I don't know. I don't know why I'm not going. But it's been good so far. It's been quite helpful just talking to someone about things.
And they've obviously got a little bit of an understanding of things.
It's expensive, though.
Yeah, that's partially the reason why, like, I haven't done it.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. It's pretty helpful. It's pretty helpful. I think I don't know. I don't know what you want me to say.
what like, you know, inspired you to start going?
I was just like super depressed last year, sometime.
Okay.
I don't know when, in June or something, or like May. Somewhere around there. And then, yeah, I just got like super depressed and it was like stress at work mostly that was causing it. But it's also just like a natural thing, bro. I've always been like a very depressed person ever since I was younger. So it's not like something in particular. It's just something that I've always wanted to do. And I just felt like it was necessary. I gave enough of a fuck to do it at that point. Yeah. I don't know why, but I was like, part of it was because I'm paying for medical aid, and I was like, I gotta like screw these guys over as much as possible. Yeah, I gotta use this thing. But yeah, otherwise I like it. I'm taking like the antidepressants and stuff. I was very worried about that in the beginning when I was going to start taking it. I was like super worried about that, but I took it and it hasn't affected my creativity, which was my biggest worry. My biggest worry was like my creativity, right? I was worried that it was going, even though it's not like my creativity is like some like I need to protect it. But
the thing is, when you're super depressed, it's not like you're actually that creative anyway. Like, you know, when you're busy, like I don't know what it's like for you, but I know for me, it's like it's a struggle to get out of bed and like,
true.
Just finding for motivation to do anything.
Very true.
So it's kind of weird, just that idea of
but
like.
But you think you think that it's like it's helping you in some like messed up way. I don't know if it's just like you also personally for me. That's how I feel. I feel like, especially with the comedy thing, I feel like oh no, you need to be the sad, super sad person all the time and like hate life and be cynical about everything and then you're only writing like once every now and then. For me, that was my biggest thing in the beginning when I first started stand-up was I wrote some good jokes and then It was like 5 minutes. I was working pretty well at the time. And I just rode that thing. And I was like super depressed at the time. And I didn't want to ride. And I was just like smoking a bunch of weed and stuff. And I don't know what the point of this story was. But well, yeah. Just, you know, in the office, there's this line. Sometimes I start a sentence and I just figure out where I'm going along. I don't know, something like that. I'm not a good podcast guest, dude.
It's fine. I think the only people going to listen to this anyway are the other guys from Not Quite Rats anyway.
Yeah, they're listening right now. Fuck them.
Who do you hate the most in the Not Quite Right crew?
Definitely you.
That's a lie. You know it's well, Vinny.
Okay, you're second. Okay, you're second. You're second. Yeah, Vinny's first, but that's just because he's an immigrant. Otherwise,
people aren't going to get this whole Norm MacDonald thing you're doing here.
I don't know what I'm doing, dude. And I'm being a Norm MacDonald regen right now.
I mean, kind of. Like, you know, he would do similar things when it comes to comedy. He would say something like that.
Just being super, super edgy.
We've been super edgy.
Let's
and
talk
like,
about something else.
I was going to say, but no, because I want to get into the whole Norm MacDonald thing. Because, yeah, it is like, it's edgy without being edgy, if that makes sense. It's like the pretense of edginess.
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying. But it's difficult to write jokes, guys. I don't know if anyone's listening that's not a comedian right now. Sometimes it's, I don't know why, but it's difficult. It's difficult sometimes. You think something will work and then it doesn't. I don't know.
That's also why, like,
so, yeah.
When you hear about, like, comedy rooms and stuff, and, like, you hear, like, these people writing, like, 200 jokes a week and this and that, and I'm like, for what?
writing 200 jokes a week.
Yeah. Shit, bro. For TV shows and shit. And, like, it's, like, something like The Daily Show or whatever, you know? Like, or not Daily Show, but, like, Seth Meyers, all those shows where, like, they've got writers' rooms where there's, like, 15 people in there who are each coming with, like, 20 jokes a day, you know?
Would you like to? Would you ever take a job like that to be a TV writer in that capacity?
I mean, yeah, I think
has that ever interested you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, it's. I mean, it's less of an option here, like especially in Durban. I know if I was in Joburg, I'd probably have more access to that kind of thing. But yeah, like I would like the challenge. And I mean, you know, at the moment, I'm not writing like 20 jokes a day, but I am like trying to be consistent, and I'm trying to sit down and like. You know, just do like the techniques and stuff, like actual like joke writing, like stuff, you know, instead of just waiting for inspiration or because a lot of jokes that I do like do come up like in conversation and then, you know, spark hits or whatever. But I've also found just like actually like the other day on, well, it's kind of, yeah, a bit of inspiration, but also because I was in the right like zone of it, like because I'd been writing in that. I saw this video of this American guy trying out South African food and sweets and stuff. And then when he got to the Wilson's toffee and just put it straight in his mouth and didn't even like, you know, try warm it up or suck on it or anything like that. Like it reminded, like it inspired me basically. I was trying to think of that as a punchline. And then I was just thinking of like South Africans that have notable jawlines. And then we found Elon Musk. And so the joke becomes, you know, Elon Musk might hate being from South Africa, but you can tell, like, that's a guy who grew up eating Wilson's toffees.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, so that one's not a very good joke. You didn't laugh, so it's really not.
But see, I'm trying to think about what Elon Musk's jawline looks like. You see, I'm not a boomer. I don't pay attention to people's jawlines. Let me Google Elon Musk jawline. Elon Musk jawline, before and after plastic surgery journey.
Oh, what? Okay, I didn't even know that. I need to do more research.
Well, maybe he was just chewing Wilson's. Chewing a lot of Wilson's.
Yes, see, that was the joke that I made. That was, well done. Thanks for ruining it. I felt good about that.
Sorry, my vape. Oh, yeah. My vape. Excuse me. Yeah, anyway. So what else are we talking about?
How was India? Since you're talking about vaping and you don't need to vape in India since the air there is a vape.
Yeah, well, Brussels vaped in India. I couldn't help it.
You vaped on the fucking plane.
I vaped on the plane. I couldn't help it.
Vapes on a plane. That could be Samuel L. Jackson.
There's vapes on a plane. Oh, that's okay. That's going to be a sketch. We need to make that. That's so funny. Vapes in remake. Anyway, yeah, I was vaping. So I was vaping. I went to India and I had two vapes on me. And then I was hiding one somewhere and I was hiding another one somewhere. And then I got into India with the vapes and I was pretty happy about that. And then we were taking like connecting flights inside India and one of the guys found my vape and he took it. And then I was very sad. And then when we went to the next place, I was like super desperate to get a vape and I like almost like killed, like I was like ready to murder someone for a vape. I was ready to get like banged up for a vape. So I was like, I was like Googling places where I can buy a vape in India. And the thing is vapes, I'm such a bad comedian. So vapes are illegal in India, guys. That's the first thing I'm going to tell
you. You could have started off with that, yeah, because I didn't know that. So I'm like, why are you smuggling in vapes?
Yeah, fuck, I'm such a stupid idiot. But okay, vapes are illegal in India. So they confiscated my vapes. I had to figure out where I can buy a vape in India. So I was like Googling around. And I noted a lot of like scam places that would like say they have vapes, but they don't really have vapes. Then I went on Reddit, right? Reddit, the old trustworthy Reddit. Guys, if you don't use Reddit out there, like if anyone's listening, Reddit is a fucking goat tool. That thing, dude. You can find anything on Reddit. If you Google anything and you put the word Reddit at the end, it'll answer your question. Whatever you're looking for, it'll answer it.
Yep, that has become the way to find stuff like that actually is helpful now that the internet's been ruined by like search and SEO and fucking, yeah, just Google in general. Like now you just gotta...
Yeah, like I don't wanna...
I mean, Reddit's also trash, but it's useful.
Reddit's like accessible, but I like it because it's useful. Like if I want to buy like a watch, for example, or like some sort of piece of technology, I can go and look at different reviews and stuff online, and it's just like one person's opinion on all of these different websites. But if you go on Reddit and you see all the upvoted comments, you know it's a lot easier to figure out and make decisions. Anyway, I went on Reddit and I found an India subreddit or like a Mumbai subreddit, and the guys told me if you go by this one restaurant, there's this one uncle who has a shop, and over there, and there's a shop there, and you can buy a vape from him.
But now you got to like, vape in private, though. You got to like hide your vaping. Because that's a pretty noticeable thing to do.
I didn't care. I was vaping in public. Once I had it, I just pretended like I was like invincible. But there's so many people in India. People don't really care like about the small stuff, you know? So I went and I bought this vape from this uncle. He had the small little shop next to a restaurant. I took an Uber there by myself in the middle of India. Found this uncle. He has like this little shack shop, smallest little shop ever, and asking for vapes, and then he hands it to me like under the counter, and then I try to like open it and take out the packaging. He's like, no, not today. Put that thing in your pocket and walk away from it. It was like the worst vape I ever smoked in my life, but it was so bad. But I did it. I'm not proud of it, but I did it.
Hey man, when that craving hits, you know.
Hey, dude, I can't help it. Vaping is such an important thing in my life, dude. Like, I remember one of my goals that I told myself last year, near the end of the year, was I want to have 20 minutes of material on vaping. And I don't know why, but I just want to do it. And I feel like vaping has such a big part in my life that I need to do it. Like, you know, to pay homage to vaping. Because sometimes, dude, sometimes if I don't vape in a while, I hit that vape. It's like heaven has, you know, like washed over my body. Feels like the vape clouds aren't just like vape. It's not just nicotine. It's something else. You know, it's like heavenly. I feel so like grateful to be on this earth where vapes are like a thing. You know, I'm so dude. Like I've been watching a lot of videos about the medieval times and like how people's lives were back then. And it really makes you appreciate your life, because in the medieval times, shit, dude, those people were living like the worst life possible. It's like so disgusting, and And when I went to India and I bought a vape, it felt like I was in the medieval times and I was vaping there, dude. India is so disgusting.
So why'd you go to India? What was the deal? Because like you said something in the group about like it being a spiritual thing, but
no, not really. I had like a joke about it being a spiritual thing, but it wasn't really. It was like it's like you Indian, you go to India to look at the spiritual stuff and to shop and to like sightsee and stuff and like just see what could have been. You know, that's Indian people from South Africa.
They're like going to the motherland.
Like, oh, this could have been me. You know, yeah, this could have been me. This like. Dude, you know, like I don't know what, some sort of complex or something where I think of myself in like the worst way and I will like.
Yeah, you got a very negative self-talk.
I'm trying to like work through it. Yeah. So I always like feel like I'm like two steps away from being like a homeless person. I don't know why, but when I see a homeless person, I really like connect with them. I feel like we're together. I don't know why, but I really, for some reason, I connect to homeless people.
Dude, I relate like, there. Like, spirit, I don't know. Like that was two fancy like things you mixed together there. But yeah, no, fully, dude. Like I relate to you so, there. Like
when you go to India, yeah, dude. When you go to India and you look at all these like all these people suffering, you're like, oh my gosh, dude, this could have been me. You know, but and then you're like almost grateful for your great 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 grandfather and grandparents
and their indentured labor
to take that shit, to sign that, yeah, to become an indentured laborer. Like you're almost happy that it happened. That's the messed up thing, because shit, dude, I could not live there. Like it's wild there. Bro. Like
so, what you're saying is that Helen Zilla had some points when she said that, you know, colonialism has its good points.
Okay, Bob. We're gonna what we're gonna do is we're going, Vinny, just I need you to screen whatever, just screen capture that voice recording and we'll post it on all the socials.
Yeah, well, that's gonna be part of the supercut.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm just thinking of who is going to be so motivated with hate to make a supercut of your podcast. Who's gonna listen to every episode of your podcast and take out every word?
I'm so like lucky that like, yeah, people might hate me. Like they might not necessarily fuck with me like that hard or whatever, but those people just don't listen to my shit. They don't like, they just don't engage with me at all. It's amazing. Like people used to like hate watch me or do whatever, but these days, yeah, I don't have to stress about that. So now it's just all, you know, the woke elite who listen to this podcast who can take me down.
Who's the woke elite that listen to this podcast?
Hey, I don't know, bro, but they're out there.
Tibbs. Tibbs and Liam. So no, India was it's a beautiful place. Like I'd definitely go back, but we traveled to a lot of different cities. There was a lot of traveling and a lot of going all over the place. Like there's certain cities that I went to that were like really nice, and I'd definitely go back there. Very calm, calming and beautiful scenery and very like spiritual vibes, even though I'm not a spiritual person at all, or religious or anything, but, you definitely, I don't know, you sometimes you're like, shit, like these people are like, believing in God, but look at the standards they live in, you know, it's kind of sad, but it makes you not want to believe in God. I wrote a joke about it.
I mean, this is Western imperialism has clearly, you know, infected your brain.
Why?
Because you're like looking at like India and being like, oh, you know, this isn't as good as, you know, in South Africa where things are so great.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like I couldn't wait to come back to South Africa, but obviously South Africa is not perfect, but obviously.
But you think that's why people go on holiday to India, so that they can be like, oh, I'm so lucky to be in South Africa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can tell you a lot of people do that. I definitely did that. I used their suffering to my advantage. So, yeah, definitely. But you know what's funny is like a lot of older Indian people like to go to India. And, you know, you when you ask a lot of younger Indian people who've been to India, or people in general, younger people in general, who've been to India, they'll tell you like the truth about it. Like, you know, there's a lot of scams going on, whatever, it's so dirty, this, that, whatever. when you talk to older people who've been to India, it's like they talk about how beautiful it is and how amazing it is. And then you like dig deeper and understand why.
I mean, that's white people.
Oh, but Indian people in specific, when you dig deeper and you find out why they like India so much, it's because there's more Indians there. They want to be around the Indian people. That's why they like India. That's why people like going to India, Indian people. A lot of Indian people like going to India because there's Indian people there.
I mean, and, that makes sense.
I don't know why. Yeah, it makes sense, but fuck, dude. Like, those aren't the Indian people that I grew up with. Those are some that those guys are not Naidus and Mudlis.
Because, I mean, also, like, yeah, if you look at the Indian cricket team and you look at their surnames, they're quite different to Indian surnames here in South Africa. So I guess that also comes from, you know, the families that did move over and stuff. And, like, yeah, certain names got passed on and certain names, like, stuck around. Whereas, yeah, in India, those names aren't necessarily all that common. Whereas here, it's like, yeah, there's lots of Naidus and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you can, here, you can just change your name and stuff. You don't have to give a shit about. Like when I know a lot of, hey, bro, the olden days were a wild time. You know, like back in the day, like my family used to do weird shit. Like they used to like, sometimes they'll just like give away children. Like, you know, like if your brother comes to your house and he's like, hey, give me your son. You got too many here. Let me just have this one here. He can work for me when he gets older or something. Well, I always wanted a son, so let me just have your boy. And then you grow up, you never even know who your real parents are. Meanwhile, they're like right there next to your house. I don't know.
Are you trying to tell us something here?
What?
Like, you know, about your...
Oh, no, I need to do a 23 and or whatever that thing, ancestry.com. Just to check. I need to check.
But how is your relationship with your parents? Because it sounds like, you know, your dad and you probably had a decent time growing up since you were with them on the weekends, hanging out and stuff.
Who told you that?
You did.
Did you speak to my dad? No, yeah. My dad had... no, not really. I don't know. I have like a kind of a strained relationship with my father right now. It's always been like that ever since my parents got divorced. But I mean, I did like hang out with them a lot when I was younger, but that's just because I had to. Once I got older, I stopped really. You know, it's fucking tiring, bro, to go up and down between houses and families. And so
when did that happen?
When I was like in grade 3.
Oh wow, damn, that's like
nine years old.
That's quite a formative fucking age.
Tell me about it, bro.
So is this part of the therapy session, I guess?
Yeah. That's what you're supposed to ask me. Like,
how does it make you feel?
Makes me feel sad.
That's the thing, like, with therapy and that. I'm always like, what am I meant to say? Like, it made me feel shit. It made me feel angry. It made me feel frustrated. I already know this about myself. Like, I'm the one experiencing all this fucking shit. But I guess it's nice to know that someone else cares.
Yeah, that's true. And I think therapy helps because you can sometimes get answers to things that you do in your life that you're not really sure why you did it. You know, sometimes you don't feel like you're in control all the time. You know, sometimes you go into like this autopilot mode in life. Sure. And then you start doing things that you maybe didn't want to do. Yeah, just like certain things, bro, whatever it could be, making a mistake. Or making a mistake and knowing you're making a mistake and still doing it, all that type of shit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like addiction shit. Like, you know, I know for myself, like, you can feel like a fucking loser sometimes when you're like, oh, I'm not going to do coke tonight, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then it's 3 a.m. and you're like 3 bags deep.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I'm a fucking loser, you know?
Yeah. I've been there.
Okay.
No, I haven't been there. But no, Bob, I don't know. Dude, it's like my family relationship. I stick to myself. I'm a guy who sticks to myself. If you don't like force it out of me, I'm not really talking to anyone about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something you've really spoken about very openly.
No, not even that, dude. Like when people find out I do stand up comedy, they always get shocked. Like, they can't believe it. Like, you actually try to, you can make people laugh, but I think it takes a while for me to make people laugh in my personal life because I have to get used to them.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know where's the line anymore.
Yeah, with my family, I know when I started doing comedy and stuff, they were all shocked. They were like, "What? But you're so quiet." I was like, "Only around you.
Yeah,
everyone else sees me as, you know, a fucking chatty Cathy. Like, people want me to shut the fuck up half the time. But like when I'm around the family, it's like, yeah, they didn't necessarily foster an environment that made me feel like open to sharing my ideas with them.
Feel that?
Yeah, like my mom was like dope, but. Yeah, the rest of the family, slightly less open-minded.
Yeah, I heard this comedian had this joke about family. It's like, would you even hang out with your family if you weren't like related to these people? If you weren't related, would you hang out with them like on a normal day-to-day basis? And I was thinking about like people in my family. I'm like, damn, I've never seen this people in my life.
Yeah, no, I've thought about that a lot. Like, I really have. Like, I've always been like, if these people weren't my family, I would not want to fucking be here right now. Especially Christmas lunch, you know, it's a time where I'm very much like, fuck, I wish I was somewhere else right now. I wish I hadn't cooked all this food for these fucking, you know, I'm not even gonna get too much into this. There's certain members of my family who, yeah, they just annoy the fuck out of me. This is my therapy session now. Look at me. I'm the patient now.
Get over yourself.
But it's also, I mean, it's kind of cliche to be a comedian as a product of divorce. You know that, right?
What must I do, dude? Must I tell my parents to get back together? Must I tell them to undo their divorce? I can't help it if I'm a cliche. I'm a walking cliche. So I'm such an embarrassment.
Would them getting back together help you relieve some trauma if they had to do it now?
I don't know, dude. I think that would like build up more trauma.
It's like, was it me? It was me. Fuck.
Yeah. We start crying.
It's fine. We bottle all of that up and turn it into jokes. But yeah, how has comedy like affected things when it comes to stuff, you know, like depression and that? Because like you were saying, you worked, you know, you were doing comedy whilst going through a lot of it. And I mean, I assume you still are to some degree.
Yeah.
So is it helpful? Yeah. Is it not helpful?
It's a tough question. Someone's asking that before.
By the way, just 1 second. Is there like thunder and stuff around you there? Because whenever you're talking, it's like making weird noises.
Yeah, there is thunder.
Okay. Because then that makes sense.
I don't know. It's raining outside.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah. So what was your question?
Fuck, what was my question? How's the comedy? Like, you know? Like how
helps? I don't know if it helps. It helps. It helps, but it helps. Like, I think it helps in a way that's maybe not ideal long-term, maybe. But it definitely helps. Help makes you feel good. I'm sure you can, you know, right?
Yeah.
I'm imagining who's listening to this right now, and I'm like, I'm sure all you guys could imagine it feels good, but meanwhile, there's like fucking just veneers and stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Literally, that's you only have comedians listening to you right now, anyway.
Yeah. So, anyway, comedy's helped, but I also think it doesn't help in some aspects. I'm sure you could agree with that. Like, it makes you feel good, but it's like a rush and. You know, it's like kind of like an adrenaline rush. It's also very depressing. It's not really, it's probably better for someone who is more stable, has a stable personality, someone who can handle the ups and downs a lot better. Because when you die, it hurts, bro. It hurts. And when you do well, it feels amazing. And it probably shouldn't be that excited as you are when you kill. But yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, there's that validation I've been wanting my whole life.
Yeah, but it's fun. I think writing is cool. Writing about is good for you and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It's like an instant gratification thing. Is it really good for you? I don't know. What do you think? I don't think it's like that great for you.
The thing is, it's not really instant gratification though, because it is like a whole thing of like, you know, you've written this joke, you've thought about it, you've edited it. Like, you know, it's usually a couple of days even before you try it. And then, yeah, you get that gratification on stage and that feels amazing. But it is also, yeah, it's like a high that we're always chasing that never satisfies you enough.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's pretty awesome, though. I love it. I really do like it. It's because it's something I've always wanted to do. So I'm happy that I'm doing something I've always wanted.
So
whether it takes me anywhere or doesn't, you know, it's like chasing a dream. Oh, it's like conquering something personally.
Yeah, I guess as someone who's seen as shy and who also sees himself as shy, getting on stage, what was that like? What inspired you to do it the first time? Because, yeah, I imagine it might have taken some guts.
I've always wanted to do it.
But from when? Since
it took a lot. Oh, dude, since I was like a child. Ever since I saw the first Russell Peters, like whatever DVD was going around back in the day, the one that Carmony put in her top five,
yeah.
Whatever it was called, right? So that Russell Peters special was like the first stand-up I've ever seen. My father was a big fan of stand-up comedy. He used to have all like the DVDs and stuff. He introduced me to like Pablo Francisco. I remember all that.
Yeah, go to the chopper.
He would do the impressions and stuff.
I saw him here in Durban at the Playhouse.
Really?
Yeah, like he did the exact same sets that you could see on Comedy Central. Literally the exact same jokes. That dude literally had one set and he traveled the world with it.
Hey, dude, all power to him, you know. I'm not a hater, dude. That's fucking wild. That's pretty amazing, to be honest with you. But, dude, that's like having greatest hits, like songs. Like you can just go all over the world and just, like, do the same songs over and over.
I mean, that's how the old school comedy vibes did actually work. I mean, you know, like guys like Andrew Dice Clay or whatever, you know. Controversy noted, yeah. I guess. Like, but you know, guys like him, people, you know, the crowd would be saying the punchlines along with them.
Yeah. But Andrew Dice Clay was more of a like a cultural sensation type.
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, yeah. Tells you a lot about America.
Even Seinfeld was like, I know he didn't release specials.
Well, no, even I'm telling you these jokes for the last time, and then he does some of the same jokes on another fucking special.
Yeah. I remember that. I'm telling you these jokes.
For a guy who apparently writes jokes every day, it's weird how few he comes up with. That's just me being shady.
You know who inspires me as a comedian?
Who?
Is Jimmy Carr, bro. I don't know how you feel about Jimmy Carr.
Yeah, like I feel like
that guy works hard.
Bro. He does. Like, have you read his book?
You just tell. Yo. I haven't read it. I must read it.
It's fine. Like it's fine. Like it tries a bit. He tries a bit too hard to be funny constantly throughout it, which gets a little annoying because you know he's only got like one style of joke, you know. So
yeah.
So that's my only criticism of him is I grew up loving Jimmy Carr and I still have a lot of respect for him in that, but I do find him to be a little bit one note, you know, like not. Like
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but I still enjoy him. It's like, you know, he's like David Copperfield almost. It's like, you know, I know how this magic show is kind of going to go and how it's going to be presented and that, but hey, it's still a magic trick.
It's like Jackass. It's like watching Jackass. Like you know what you're going in for. It's nothing groundbreaking, but you're going to enjoy it. You're going to have a good time. I don't know how you feel about Jackass, by the way.
Oh, I love Jackass.
Bob is someone, Bob has like an opinion about everything. So I have to just watch. After what? You saw I mentioned Jackass. You're like, fuck those guys. Johnny Knoxville came to Durban once and said he was going to do the Winston.
I mean, those guys definitely have been to South Africa and probably have been in Durban.
Yeah, probably. The Wild Boys. Dude,
Wild Boys was actually here in South Africa. Fuck.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they were here. They dressed as animals.
Yeah, and went to the Lions. Yeah.
You know what? You know, it's a pretty funny thing, right? So when I was younger, when I was in high school, my friends, you know, you go and hang out by the mall. You just like walk around by the mall and stuff.
Yeah.
One of my friends and I were doing that. And then we went into Game, right? And Game had these big bins of DVDs clearance, you know, like 10 rand.
Oh, yes.
A lot of DVDs, right?
That's why my DVD collection's made up of.
So... We went over there, we were looking, and we found two Steve-O DVDs, right? Steve-O DVDs.
Oh, wow.
And we were like, oh, this is weird. This is interesting. This is weird. Like, what is this about? So we each bought one, and we were like, okay, we're going to go home, and we're going to watch this DVD, and we're going to, you know, we'll report back to each other what we saw the next day. at school, and we did. I went and watched this thing, and it was one of the wildest fucking videos I've ever seen in my life, bro. Like, it was insane. It was like all home videos of Steve-O just and his like crew, like a lot of behind the scenes, like outrageous, like drunk, drugged up behavior. People like taking shits on the wall, you know, that type of shit.
The shit hits the fan like, thing. Well, that's in the new one, but yeah.
No. They just took a shit. Some guy just like, it was like all behind the scenes video. Like, you know, like a skateboarder, like that skateboarder lens type of.
Yeah, for sure.
It felt like it was a skateboarder video the whole time. And it was just the most disgusting shit you've ever seen in your life. And like Steve-O trying to like basically like rape these girls who looked questionably young. Hey, it was weird. The next day I went to my friend, we met each other at school, and we were like, did you watch a video? And I was like, yeah. And he said, yeah. And we were like, that was the most shocking thing I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
That's my game story. I know you wanted a game story.
Yeah, no, like I've heard Steve-O's got, you know, a new special out. I haven't seen it yet because like, he's also one of those guys that does get gross, you know. Like, I'm not into like gross. I'm into pain. Pain is cool. Like, I like when they hurt.
Yeah. He's always like shit involved. Yeah, I like Johnny Knoxville and that type of.
Exactly, you know.
Like this guy in the video, he was just doing like these nitrous oxide cartridges. He was just getting fucked up on these cartridges, dude. And it was so crazy to see, like, as a high schooler. I was like, oh, this is weird. What drug is this? Look at how insane he's behaving. Oh.
Yeah, I wonder if they've ever, like, because I know, like, you know, a lot of them have had their own journeys with addiction and recovery and all of that, but I wonder how they feel about how much they influenced, like, millions of people around the world to do things that they probably shouldn't have. Like, their legacy is that some kid like you saw nitrous oxide being done and was like, how do I get that? And then they became a crack addict.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get there one day.
Maybe one day you'll have that influence.
I don't know. Yeah. I can live up to the example.
But yeah, as you're gonna say?
Yeah. I don't know, dude. So for me, I love we talked about Jimmy Carr. I really think that guy works super hard and it's super like inspiring. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he used to be an oil executive, or not an oil executive, an ad guy, I think, for Shell. And then he had like a whole...
Really?
Yeah, and then he had a whole thing of like, you know, why the fuck am I doing this with my life? And then...
Yeah, that religion thing as well.
Religion thing?
I mean, yeah, wasn't he like super religious and then he just had so many like anti-religion jokes, he like stopped believing in God. I remember that was like... You know, this was before his face. It looks like he got like plastic surgery.
He did. He talks about it. Yeah.
This was before that.
Oh wow. Yeah, that's also. I don't know. I feel. I don't know. I hate that people feel the need, you know, to get plastic surgery just to keep trying to look young when it's like you don't. You just look like someone stretched your face back. Like that's it. Like you don't actually look younger. Yeah. You look like an old guy trying to look young in the weirdest way.
Jimmy Carr is like British, so why is he trying to look young? You know, British people, all British comedians, you know, they always end up getting like these old motherfuckers.
Yeah,
John Cleese, fucking who else? I don't know.
Say another problematic.
I was watching. Name.
Huh? I was gonna say another problematic name like J.K. Rowling and
J.K. Rowling. I'm a big Harry Potter fan. I read all the books growing up.
And still to this day?
Dude, I separate the art from the artist.
You know that's meant in a completely different way to the way people use it, though.
No, dude. When I remember when I was first reading Harry Potter books when I was like in grade... I think I was in grade 6 or something. No, grade... I was like 8 years old or 9, I don't know. But when I first started reading it, I immediately became transphobic. I don't know if that's because of her. But yeah.
It's in the text there, bro. It's the subtext.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. No, it sucks that like someone like her, like, has ruined her own legacy, and even someone like John Cleese and that. So, like, it does it does suck when like you grow up with art. Like, I mean, I had, you know, when I was younger, I liked Harry Potter and shit as well, of course. I mean, obviously I thought Artemis Fowl was cooler, but you know, it was dope that like lots of people liked Harry Potter and people got into it and people were reading and stuff like that. And yeah, it's just kind of tragic that like these people who you grow up with and you admire, but you don't really know who they are. You know, you just like their work and stuff. And then they just decide to have some very interesting fucking opinions. And you're just like, huh, oh, fuck, okay. Like someone like John Cleese, who created like, you know, some dope fucking comedy. Like Monty Python is clearly some of the greatest shit of all time. And you're like, but you're a fucking asshole. It's like, what's with Patrice O'Neill with the...
I don't even know what did he do? I don't even know
Let me just John Cleese controversy quickly and see which is the latest one. He's just always saying like weird shit about, you know, the youth these days, where it's like, oh, you know, they can't take a joke and this and that. Don't like, yeah. Oh, Fawlty Towers Laughs. Wait, I just put Cleese controversy. Like, I remember a few years...
You don't like Fawlty Towers, right?
Oh, God, no, not at this point, for sure. Yeah, so John Cleese criticized for tweets about trans folks, slavery controversy explored. yeah, faces backlash.
Slavery controversy.
yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
He was a nice guy. He was such a nice guy.
No, like, as he's gotten older, he's become quite curmudgeonly. So it's actually just like, it's kind of tragic that these people who you grew up with and their work is actually foundational for you. Like someone like, for me, Dave Chappelle is, you know, I've got Half Baked on DVD. You know, he's someone who Killing Them Softly was fucking foundational for me. But I struggle to even go back to the old work now and enjoy it as much. Like, I mean, I can still kind of enjoy Monty Python and that, but even when you find out like just a lot of those stories and that, it does, for me, like it does kind of take some of the enjoyments out of it.
Yeah, look, I feel you. Personally, I'm not the biggest, I don't know what's the right way to put this, but I don't really pay attention to that type of stuff. If I hear about something, yeah, maybe. But I'm also, whatever. I still find Monty Python extremely funny. I was watching Life of Brian the other day. I still find Fawlty Towers extremely funny. I think that's one of the funniest fucking things that has ever been made, Fawlty Towers.
Fawlty Towers? Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay.
Good. Yeah. But maybe
because I colonized mind, my friend. You've got a colonized mind.
I don't know, dude. I grew up watching Fawlty Towers, so it's kind of, maybe it holds a dear place in my heart, but yeah. I don't know. I don't really pay attention to that type of stuff personally. Like I'll just sit and I'll watch the art. I don't really care about because that's like, you, dude, there's so many guys. Do you like watch Woody Allen movies? I mean, I don't really watch Woody Allen movies because I'm not
a film fan. Not anymore. Like,
that guy's a freak, bro. That guy's a freak.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it does take, like, that's a prime example. Like, you watch Annie Hall, like, nowadays, knowing what you know about that dude, it changes it.
What about this, right? So, Michael Jackson, right? Yeah. Ultimate example, Michael Jackson. People love Michael Jackson. Yeah. They love his music. They love him. I liked his music. I thought it was pretty cool. Not really my type of vibe, but it was very nice, you know, when you're younger and stuff. Catchy music and stuff. But people still, his music is still played on the radio and stuff. Like, it's nothing, dude.
I mean, Chris Brown's still playing on the radio.
I think, exactly. So I think everyone knows that fucking Michael Jackson is a pedo. But
allegedly.
People still, so no. But so is he gonna come back and sue us, like in a Thriller movie, Thriller video? But dude, like, so is it that, so this is what I'm asking. Does it depend how good the art is that we as a society forgive someone? I'm sure you've thought about
this. Isn't this literally a Dave Chappelle joke?
Is it?
I think so. Yeah. I think this is literally a Dave Chappelle bit where he talks about it. So it's just like, you know, Michael was so good that we were like, yeah, you can fuck some kids. Essentially.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Okay, all right.
How talented do you have to be? No, I mean, that is like it, but I mean, that is the whole thing about like the whole idea when it even just comes to cancel culture in general. Like, cancel culture doesn't affect like big people. I mean, criminal stuff might, you know, someone like Harvey Weinstein wasn't canceled, he was put in fucking jail. That's a big fucking difference, you know, than like the public being like, oh, that's the thing you did sucks. And then you go on and you carry on doing that thing and you make millions and millions and millions of dollars. Like, if you're a smaller person than that, yeah, you can have your life totally ruined because you don't actually have enough support and you don't actually have the financial backing. So some random person on Twitter can have their fucking life ruined and their job taken away from them because of something that they said on there. But in general, like, cancel culture as like a concept in the media, like for big names and that, I just don't see it being like a real thing. There just aren't ever really fucking consequences if you are talented enough.
Yeah.
So now you're just thinking, I just need talented. To get more talented.
Yeah, I just need to. Yeah, then everything that will be exposed won't matter.
Then no one needs to know that you're on the Epstein list.
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely on the Epstein list, dude. I was the fucking. I was one of the girls that they took away. They thought I was a girl. imagine I was in Epstein, dude, oh, dude. And then like Stephen Hawking showed up and then he wanted to bang me. Oh my god,
I was gonna say, it'd be funny, like, you'd be one of the only person who went to Epstein Island and still couldn't get laid.
No, dude, I'd get laid on Epstein Island. I'd sell myself, dude. Even if like I'd even let like Donald Trump bang me. I'd first go for, if I'm on Epstein Island, right, I'm first going for
fuck Mary, kill Epstein Island edition.
Yeah. I'm going for Stephen Hawking first, just to hang out a little bit.
Stephen Hawking, Mary.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking, Mary. Then who else do we have? Who's the other famous? Bill Gates? Is it Bill Gates, one of them? And
I think so.
Who else?
There's Bill Clinton.
So Bill Clinton. Clinton's definitely a. See, now I've got to think about. I got to think about my Microsoft Office. Yeah. So I'll fuck Bill Gates and I'll kill Clinton because Clinton killed a lot of people, so he deserves it.
But what about Trump?
No. Okay. So we're doing Trump. Next is Trump. Trump. Now it depends on how late the night is. Obviously the situation, but I think I'd fuck Trump just to see what it was like. Just so I have the story.
You and Stormy Daniels.
Yeah. I could definitely sell that book. Then who else is a big Epstein Island? Then there was a lot of like.
Wasn't Kate Blanchett on the fucking list? That was crazy. Reading that list was like.
Is she hot?
Pardon?
Is she hot?
Yeah, she's. Yeah, it's Kate. Do you not know Kate Blanchett? That's crazy.
I don't know who that is. I'll kill her though. But.
Oh fuck, this podcast is gonna get us both put on lists, you know that, right?
As long as it's not on the Epstein Island list, dude. The full list revealed. Prince Andrew. That is a definite kill, bro. David Copperfield was there. I'd marry David Copperfield. I'd hang out with that guy. He can teach you some tricks, bro.
He was doing tricks on the island.
A trick for a trick. That's what
we're doing. Exactly.
I want to hang out. If I was on Epstein's Island, I'd hang out with, I'd hope to hang out with like someone, like maybe like a David Blaine if he was there. That would be a fun guy to hang out with.
I don't think that would be a fun guy to hang out with at all. Nothing about David Blaine has ever made me think, this guy's a barrel of fucking laughs.
Yeah, but he can do magic tricks to you. That's fun. Where's the card? Check your ass.
Another South Park reference.
Is this Leonardo DiCaprio was there. Oh no, I'll do all Richard Branson, kill Michael Jackson, definitely kill. Kevin Spacey.
Were all these people on the list, or are these just now people that have allegations?
I don't know, dude. It's like, who gives a shit? It's not like anyone's going to pay attention to us. Yeah, we're just Noam Chomsky. Noam Chomsky was gonna do. What is he doing there?
Now someone's going to actually be like, wait, was Noam Chomsky on the fucking list?
I saw it on a thing, dude.
Oh shit. Oh wow, that would be quite a, yeah. I mean, he is a cunning linguist, so I guess yeah. That was terrible. I'm gonna fucking kill myself.
So Epstein was a cool guy.
And that's all we have time for, folks. And
okay. I was about to ask you about Hitler, but
yeah. Fuck. Let's just do all the conversations. So what do you want to know about Hitler?
I want to know, do you think Hitler's art, like, have you seen Hitler's art before?
Yeah, I've seen some of it. I mean, it was fine. Like,
I think he was a pretty good artist.
He was better than
his paintings were okay. His art was pretty good.
Fuck, dude.
What? He had a way with things, bro. He was very precise. You know, I was watching.
We are towing a line that
I love. Yeah. Learning. I love like painters, like listening to the lives of old painters who like died and stuff. You know, like Van Gogh, whoever. Right. Yeah. I just find it so interesting to see these like hyper creative people. You know, like go through life with so much pain and turmoil and weirdness and a lot of weirdness, right? So. One of my friends made me a t-shirt that has a picture of Salvador Dali on it. Because when I was younger, I used to always love his paintings. And then my friend was selling a t-shirt with Salvador Dali on it, and he made, and I bought it. And then after I bought it, I watched a Salvador Dali video on YouTube, and I realized that this guy is a crazy person. Like, he was absolutely insane. Like, he was.
Yeah,
he was insane. He was like an insane person. Like, he used to, like, you're borderline raping people and stuff like that. Like, crazy fucking shit, bro. And I was like, damn, this guy is one of my favorite artists in the world. And even Picasso, bro.
Oh, yeah, Picasso was a cunt. About
Picasso, and that guy was also weird as fuck. Like,
I mean, imagine my surprise when, like, I find out that, like, all the French philosophers that I dig, you know, signed a fucking thing that we're like, oh, yeah, no, fucking kids is totally cool. It's actually, like, really good, actually. Like, this happened in like the 70s, and it's like, oh wow, okay.
Hey dude, you need to get some new philosophers, bro. You need to follow my philosophers. Jordan Peterson, Joe Rogan,
Andrew Tate,
dropping the N-word. Yeah, Andrew Tate,
Super Andrew Mix. Huberman podcast.
The ultimate podcast would be if Joe Rogan had Jordan Peterson, Andrew Tate, and Andrew Huberman on the same pod. Who else would be there? The ultimate
Lex Friedman.
Then Russell Brand. Yeah, Lex Friedman.
Lex Friedman and Russell Brand. Holy shit. That would be the fucking. That would actually break the internet, though. You know that. That would be like the most viewed video of all time.
And then Cat Williams shows up. and he just starts insulting everyone. It just becomes like a roast immediately. That would be amazing.
We should try and do that as a skit. I don't know if you ever saw Tim Heidecker's fucking Joe Rogan podcast experience fucking skit. So actually, yeah, let's finish this off talking a little bit about comedy and shit, because like, yeah, we've gone way off the fucking tracks here, but like, I feel people have gotten a taste of what your stand-up comedy is kind of like. Or at least your sense of humor is kind of like, I hope that they get that this is your sense of humor and not your actual, you know, beliefs. But yeah, so Norm Macdonald, like I was trying to get into earlier, I assume like guys like Norm Macdonald, Tim Heidecker, and that, like, well, I know Norm Macdonald's like someone like you're a fan of.
Yeah, I don't know who Tim Heidecker is. You know, there's so many comedians out there, it's hard to keep up. But for me, what?
No, I was just going to say, that's weird, because like, he's someone who, like, I would imagine, yeah, you would really like. Like, I mean, he's very sardonic and sarcastic and like, yeah, like very, yeah, you'll be into Tim Heidecker. Pardon?
He passed away.
No, no, no.
Did he die?
He's still alive. No, he's still got. He's got a podcast and everything called Office Hours, okay, which is quite fun.
Check it out.
Like, he does an episode with Fred Armisen.
Oh, the gang meme. Oh, Tim and Eric.
Tim and Eric, awesome show. Yes.
Oh yeah. Okay. Anyway, yeah. Norm Macdonald for me is like one of my favorite comedians ever, dude. Like, I genuinely, I was so bummed out when that guy died. It was like celebrity deaths don't affect me, but certain ones that I felt like I've connected with in a weird way, I've hurt. Like, and it's weird to say that, but it's true. Like, when Anthony Bourdain died, I was like so sad for some reason. I don't know why.
Nah, dude, that one affected me as well, bro.
That was sad, bro. Because that guy was amazing, dude. That guy was amazing, bro. Like, the way he would connect food and history together in this, like, almost like I don't know, dude, like in like a short story-esque writing form. I don't know, but anyway, I'm bullshitting. I don't know what the fuck I was saying right there. But for me, when Norm Macdonald died, I was like super sad. And I watched a lot of him when I was in university. He had a podcast at that time.
Yeah.
And it was very funny, very edgy, very super edgy, super offensive, making, you know, like just the most edgy, but in like a very...
But it's tongue-in-cheek.
Innocent way. Yeah, tongue-in-cheek, yeah. But, yeah, dude, I've loved Norm Macdonald stuff for at least the past 10 years.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, he's someone that, like, I knew of and that and, like, you know, I thought he was pretty funny in that, but after he died, like, I really got into him a lot more, and because of his podcast on that, so, like, there's so many clips on YouTube now, and fuck, like, I watch some of them or I listen to some of them, and I crack up so hard, dude, like, just the way he fucks with people it's beautiful.
Yeah, he was, like, fucking with people just for himself, you know, like, I was thinking about this, he was making himself laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would mispronounce words on purpose.
Constantly.
Like, instead of iron, he would say iron. Instead of iron, like to iron something, or like iron the metal, he would say iron. And people would get like thrown off by that stupid shit like that. Which brings me to this, right? So I feel like as a comedian, the best thing you could do is make yourself laugh. Sometimes I feel like when I write a joke, right? And I'm like, okay, this here could make other people laugh, but it's not making me laugh personally. And when I find something that I enjoy and I can have fun with other people at the same time, it's like heaven, bro. It's like the best feeling. When I can talk about vaping on stage and like scratch that itch and still have people laugh, it like blows my mind. I love that shit. But I don't know what the point of what I was saying is. I really do like Norm Macdonald. I even got a tattoo in dedication to him.
Listen up, what's the tattoo?
It's just like a saying that he used to have. It's called, he used to call himself an old chunk of coal. It's really stupid.
Yeah.
But it's just something to remind myself of whatever tenets he brought to his life and stand-up comedy and stuff like that. I felt like that guy was like a super masterful comedian and just like an artist in general. And I listened to his audiobook and it's fucking amazing. It really is amazing. One of the best.
Oh, the completely made, the book where he made everything up.
Yeah.
it's
autobiography, but it's completely made up. It was pretty fun. But yeah.
I think I've got that downloaded somewhere. I need to give it a read.
It's a pretty cool listen. I won't lie. And he does a delivery and
I can't do fucking audiobooks, dude. Like,
it's hard to find that book. It's hard to find that book. If you can find it, physical copy, let me know. It's awesome.
Like, I'm not going to mention on like this platform exactly where I get my books from, but shout outs to Russia, you know, and shout outs to downloading things. Like, that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, dude, like, you read off the screen.
I read on my phone, yeah. Like, especially biographies.
I don't know
like,
how you do that, bro.
Pretty easily, just how you
do that. I feel like it strains my eyes too much.
Yeah, I mean, I've got reading glasses and stuff, so I use those. But yeah, I mean, especially when like I'm on the toilet.
You've got reading glasses. Bob got reading glasses.
Holy yeah, shit. I've had them since high school. I think the same pair. My eyesight's 2019 vision, bro.
Yeah, dude, I don't even know what that means.
Like, my eyes are one's 20 and one's 19. Like, instead of 2020. You should know this. You have glasses.
When the pandemic happened.
Yes, that's wasn't exactly
2020.
It. Well, it was COVID.
I don't really know how the ear, the eye stuff works. I'm not a doctor.
You're not an optometrist.
Yeah, I'm not an optometrist.
Okay, well, I just think it's time for us to say goodbye to Vinny and Tibbs and Liam and whoever else is listening now. So let's ask the final question. This one is for all the marbles. What is a big mistake that you have learned an important lesson from?
I knew you were going to ask me this question, but I forgot the question that I forgot. I knew there was a question you asked me at the end of the podcast. You ask everyone, and I forgot what it was. And then I was too lazy to go and listen to one of your podcasts and listen to it and figure out what my answer would be. So what was the question again?
And that's all What's we have time for, folks.
No, Bob. I have a question. I have an answer for this. Tell me the question again.
Yeah, what is a big mistake that you've learned an important lesson from? Make sure you have enough vapes when you go to India.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Maybe like a big mistake is that I've made recently is...
being on this
podcast. I don't really make too many mistakes. I don't know. A big mistake I've had that I've made... probably like... I should have done my homework more. So yeah, that's probably one of them.
Should have done your homework more, and then what? You wouldn't be a stand-up comedian.
No, okay. I'll say this here. Just trust my gut. I wish I did that more. Like too many times in my life, I've been too analytical about things and overthought things. So just like going with the flow a little bit and trusting myself, I think is an important thing that. I'm still learning, but I have learned in the past.
Cool, fair enough. You see that? There we go. We got there. That was a good one. Okay, well, thank you. This has been
Bob. A
very awkward conversation, and hasn't been made easier by the signal being fucked up. So it just keeps crossing over. But yeah, man, thank you so much for your time. This has been fun. I'll probably see you on Wednesday. So,
check your Wednesday.
So that was a kill. Told you he's a funny dude. And you can check him and myself pretty much every Wednesday at Ace's Pizza for the Not Quite Right open mic. And like I mentioned at the start of the show, on the 16th of February, we will be out at Noah's Pub on the Bluff with Robbie Collins as your host. We've got Tibbs Doomy. We've also got Carmony. And then, myself and Akil on that bill. You'll notice every single person there has been on this podcast. It's getting incestuous, baby. It's getting nepotistic up in here. Oh, what am I going to talk to you about? Fuck, last night, Jamie and I went for a date. We wanted to try something different. We wanted to try out a restaurant we hadn't been to. And, I did my Googles and checked out some stuff and found this Greek restaurant. So I was like, it was between that and Dode. And like, Dode is fucking amazing. But we were like, let's do something different. Like, trust me, you should go to Dode. If you're in Durban, fuck, best pizza in Durban. Like, and that's actually quite a title, because I think Durban has some amazing pizza places. But anyway, I digress. We go to this Greek place, and the service was amazing. I'm not going to tell you the name of the place or anything like that. Service was amazing. Great waiters, great staff, great, like, vibe. Terrible fucking food. Jesus fucking Christ. Like, I had these stuffed tomatoes that had mince and rice and stuff in it. And, listen, like, Willy's dog food probably tastes about the same. Like, it was... Not like that's the thing. Like, I was just trying to figure out, like, am I the one that's fucking up here? Like, or is my flavor palette wrong? Is my reference point for this dish just incorrect? Was I just expecting different flavors? Like, I was just expecting a bit more tomato like, you know, flavor from a stuffed fucking tomato. I was expecting a little more salt, maybe some pepper. So like, there's a lot of oregano. I could taste the fuck out of that. So yeah. And then Jamie got this chicken dish that was also just, you know, I could go to Big Joe's across the road here and get a quarter chicken and chips and be way more satisfied. So that was a bit disappointing. And we're wondering, because, you know, the place has some pretty decent reviews on that. And I was just wondering if maybe, like, we just got the wrong dishes, you know? Like, maybe their specialty is seafood, because I did see a lot of people that are eating that, and we should have gone for that. So we might give the place another try. But fuck, it was, you know, the first time things have been disappointing when we've gone out to a restaurant for a while, because, like, we've been... The cool thing is, so Jamie's from Cape Town, and so I've been showing her all the different things in Durban. You know, we try different restaurants, different places. We try and do different things, like, every weekend, basically. And it's been amazing, because the Durban culinary scene is actually fucking bang. Like, for real, there are some amazing restaurants. There are some people doing some really cool things. There's also a lot of boring shit, you know. There's a lot of places that have the exact same fucking menus and don't even bring their own, like, flavor, their own style, their own creativity to it. Like, I get very, I don't know, it's weird. I'm becoming a bit, like, not a, like, food snob or whatever, but I'm just like, if you're gonna be charging me big money for shit, or not even big money, but just money, you know, like, not cheap, and you're just gonna be doing, like, a basic ass fucking thing that I can do at home, yeah, I'm not impressed. But if you come with some wild shit, like, some crazy ideas, that's what I like about Dode, man. They've got some fucking unique flavors. They've got some interesting combinations on their fucking pizzas. Like, that's the whole point of starting a restaurant, right? Is to share your creativity, to share your love of food, your love of combining flavors. And yeah, for the most part, like I was saying, we're pretty lucky in Durban that there's quite a few spaces like that. Anyway, I don't really know, like, much like a keel throughout the podcast, I don't really know what the point of that was. I guess, yeah, sometimes you try new things and it sucks, but that shouldn't stop you from trying new things. Anyway, it's time to give the shoutouts. So, for those of you who are new here, every week at the end of the podcast, I shout out the titular titles tier over at patreon.com. It's the $10 tier. It's a top tier, and you get to pick your title. So, shout-outs to Rousseau, the storage clerk of subtle heresies in the Lesser Overberg region. Russell Grant, the Far East correspondent. Neil Green, the key grip. Karan Chetty, the assistant to the regional manager. Kath Jenkin, the inevitable ruler of the universe and Queen Swifty. And Stephen Olafia, the executive producer. As always, I want to give a big thank you to Damien Root for the bed music you hear underneath me and the banging intro you hear at the beginning of each and every episode. And lastly, but not leastly, shoutouts to you. I will catch you on the flip side.